And so as I was driving back, and I, on my album playlist, Shofar Band's album came up, and I listened to the first few songs. And so I skipped over to my two favorite songs, Behold the Lamb, which is track 8, and Rejoice, which is track 10. And so as I was listening to Rejoice, and my favorite words of the song came up, "You are ruling and reigning in heaven. Every creature is singing your praises." And as I sang that, the Holy Spirit just came up to me and just gave me a shiver across my upper body. And that was just the confirmation that I was looking for. It was a confirmation from God that things are going according to His plan. Things will work out, whatever the situation may be. So definitely my words of encouragement will be to for you guys, is to really submit all trust in the Lord, especially with people looking into the future, seeing a bit, well, it's a bit blurry, or students writing exams, including myself, because I know firsthand how gut-wrenching some exams can be. I just really ask that you'll put all trust in the Lord, and just lay all your cards on the table, be honest with the Lord, and just really allow the Holy Spirit in, and you'll just see Him do amazing things. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Anyone else want to share? Hunky?
Hi, guys. So I was actually praying about this. I was wondering whether I should share this and whether it's actually going to, like, be something. And I said, well, okay, Lord, if there's going to be an opportunity to share testimonies, I'll do it. During this, I wrote yesterday my first exam. And during this week, I was home with my mom. But our family is going through a very difficult time, and my parents are getting divorced. So I visit my mom, and during the whole week, I felt really like, I felt very down, and I was like, I can't study, I don't want to study, I don't want to do this. Okay, so anyway, so I went home to my mom, and during the week, I was just like, I really don't have the strength to study. And so it was literally Friday, and I was like, oh my soul, I'm writing tomorrow, and I haven't done anything. And I messaged Greta, and I messaged Simon them, and I messaged a lot of people, and I'm like, I literally have time to study the old test paper. I don't have to study anything else. I literally only have time to study the old test paper. That's all I can study. And I was like, okay, Lord, so just please let it be the old test paper. Like, I can't do anything else. And so yesterday I wrote, it was literally word for word the old test paper. It was like nothing else. There wasn't even another question in. It was literally just the old question paper. So I'm sorry, I'm crying. So I just really want to encourage the students, like, surrender your studies. You're not here to perform, and you're not here to show people that you can make it and that you're smart enough to be here. You're here to glorify God in every aspect of your life. So I encourage you during this exams, like, really surrender your studies, and great things will come out of it. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to share? Come, Vinnah.
Sorry. I was sitting at the back, and when Elisa said something about a testimony, and I realized I actually have one, and I've shared this with a couple of people this past week. So to start off, last year, my parents covered my fees for my studies, and it was in June. I wrote my last paper, and it was the weekend. I was writing on the Monday, and I was starting on Saturday with studying. And my mom called, and mom told me that she doesn't want me to hear this from anyone else, but the company that she works for the past 25 years, is going to go under liquidation, meaning it's going to close down due to bankruptcy. And that was like a dead statement for me. It sounded like I felt like I really why am I still here? Why am I still studying when my parents cannot even pay my fees anymore? And my mom told me, no, finish your paper, come home, and then we'll talk. And yeah, it was a really tough time for me. Last year, June, I went home, and I thought to myself, I'm never going to come back. And my mom told me, no, you're going to finish the year. We're going to try to finish, and we're going to pay off the fees. And we managed to pay the fees and in December. And when it came to Jan, I told my mom, I really want to go back, but I know there's no fees. There's no actually financial structure there. And yeah, I applied for bursary last year. And but I didn't tell my mom and her parents everything. So I forgot about the bursary because they didn't inform me about anything. And in January, yeah, it was, I think it was around the 20th. I told my mom I'm going to fast for this bursary because they emailed me and say that they're taking me into consideration. And yeah, it was, I fasted for 3 days. And on the third day when I went online, they told me it's stated there that I was approved. And I could remember my mom standing in the building of where she worked because I grew up with this company and it was like, it was family and everything. So it was really a tough time at the time. And when I climbed the bus, 3 a.m. that morning, when I came back to Bloom, I was in tears, tears of joy, because I really didn't think I would come back. And this past week, when I went online, I saw that the bursary paid off every single cent. I don't owe the university anything for the year, so the Lord is really good, guys. Yeah, I can just testify that it was a tough time putting your faith into action. It's not easy, but at the end of the day, the Lord really wants to help, and the Lord is the richest of the rich, and He's our Father, and He's just amazing. So thank you.
Good morning. I believe some of you saw me, but not a lot know how I got here. So yeah, I'm just going to share my story, how I got here, how the Lord blessed me. So I was a matric, and I did pretty good. Yeah, I surrendered to the Lord. I asked for guidance. He showed me a lot. He made me, He gave me a leadership position in the church, in the school. Pretty big one, and I had an impact for the Lord. But financially, I wanted to study. I had like big ambitions. I want to be an astronaut president. No, I'm joking, but yeah, I really have high standards for myself. So I wanted to study, but unfortunately, my mother lost a job, and my father doesn't have a job for 5 years. So I was like, damn. So now I did application for a bursary, but still it was very difficult. I live with my grandmother. And we didn't have a vehicle, so we can't like ride to places to go to interviews and those kind of things. But I did an application for SASO, this one bursary, because it's like one of the top 10 companies in South Africa. And yeah, two of my best friends, we are like top achievers in our schools. Yeah, the Lord still blessed me with that, really. So they did bursary for, they did application for SASO. The Duke's Leerling didn't get it. My other friend, like, is a bit better than me, but not really. I'm better than him in other stuff, like maths and all those kind of things that's really important. No, I'm joking. I just did application, the only application I did, I went for the interview. I was like shocked. I heard about my friends. They said no, they didn't accept them. No, he didn't accept them. I was like, okay, I'm done. So I went for the interview. Very nice. The Lord in the school time, He made me ready for this interview. He learned me the processes, how to speak to people and all those kind of things. Confidence, very important. I was very shy, but it was also a choice. Like, you can choose, the Lord gave you a choice. You can choose who you want to be in this life. I chose to turn the table. And there was about 300 kids that went for that interview. All of them got 90s. know, like averages, formative marks. They are very smart kids. And I was like, there's 10 white kids and the rest are just black kids and other races because of BEE. So yeah, I just have faith in the Lord. Each time the thought come in my head to corrupt me, you're like, not gonna get it, you're not gonna do it. And I was just like, I surrender to you, Lord, I trust in you, my future's in your hands. But still, I wasn't that strong in my faith. He wanted to show me this to grow, to let me grow. And then I got the application, I was accepted. Show my grandmother, like, yayed in the kitchen. And yeah, then, again, he gave me the finances, a lot, quite, and I needed to tithe. I heard a lot about tithing, and I was like, what you will do about tithing? So I tested it. I gave my tithing, and it's a lot of money. It's like, I got like 23,000, yeah. And I needed to give like 10th of that and still a bit extra, you know, for the people on the street because I had a soft heart. Yeah, I did that. And then my mother got a job and she got a better post. So I'm really giving this to the Lord. He blessed me with this. And yeah, I'm really thankful for it.
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. Cool. Pastor Ian.
Okay, good morning, everyone. So, I just want to, I don't know about you, but it feels to me like when you move outside the church family or when you go into the world, then I feel, sorry, I feel like sometimes you're a little bit at the mercy of the world and the people of the world, and especially if it's people in leadership positions, then you almost feel like you're at the mercy of those people sometimes. And not sure when this was, last year or 2 years ago, but Peter and I went to Joburg and we drove back. And just outside, I think it is Grasmere Plaza, just outside there. So how we always do it, if we have to coach the afternoon, we drive home in the morning. So we don't leave a lot of time to spare there. But anyway, so we drove, and then this traffic officer pulled us off the road. And he asked to look under the bonnet of the car to look at the engine. And when he did that, I thought, that's weird. Like, they don't normally do that. And he found something wrong there. And so he said to Peter that we have to go back to Joburg, take the car back there for some reason because something is wrong with the car. And then Peter said to him, but we can't do that. We have to get to Bloom now. We have to work later. Like, what is wrong here? Well, just give me a ticket then. If something is wrong, give me a ticket. And I just felt in my spirit, okay, something here is wrong. And I started praying, and and then this gust came, and it just blew the traffic officer's papers like everywhere. It was everywhere. And then it's a good thing that Peter was outside, because I think if I was outside, I would have just left the papers. I would have just been like, well, there you go. But Peter just started running after these papers, and he was picking up all of these papers and giving it back to the officer. And when he did that, the officer said to him, okay, it's fine, you can go. And I thought, okay. But then I just realized that sometimes we are almost at the mercy of people that we can't say no to. But then if you pray and trust the Lord, He will give you the opportunity to do what is right. And in that, He's glorified, and in that, He sets you free of the thing that the enemy was trying to come and steal. So I just want to encourage you, the Lord will give you opportunity if you trust Him. But then in that opportunity, I'm being honest now, I mean, I would have left the papers. I would have just been like, oh. But Peter did what was right, and in that, the Lord was glorified. So I just want to encourage you.
Yeah. don't get on the wrong side of Talitha, because she will pray fire down from heaven. God is faithful, amen. We serve an awesome, awesome God. So this morning, I'm excited to introduce to you a multi-talented individual. He's been a blessing in this church for many years. He sat with me in 2012. I'll never forget when we were in the Brandvach church. He was an aspirant medical student. He wanted to even get into medicine, and he was studying BSc, and he was struggling. And you were studying already, but he was really at a down and out place in his life. He really was, yeah, just really at the mercy of the Lord, and just needed prayer, needed encouragement. And he was a first year, unsure of a lot of stuff. And the Lord's been so faithful in his life. He's been here for 7 years, 8 years now in Bloom, eh? Seven. It's his seventh year in Bloom. He's a qualified doctor now. He's been such a blessing in worship. He leads worship, as you saw this morning. But he's really a man after God's heart. He's got such a calling on his life and a gift. And he's got a testimony that he wants to share with us this morning, a short sermon or a sermon combined with a testimony. But it's amazing to have Benny in our midst. And I'm sure he's been such a blessing to many of you to really be a friend and to care for people. He asked the other day if he can make the students food while writing exams. I mean, that was absolutely amazing. I think he's so challenged by his time. He's having to work weekends. That's why you don't often see him at church, because he's working. But he's going through the night at times, sleeping a little, because first year as a doctor is not easy, as he will share. But I think, yeah, I'm excited for Benny to have an opportunity this morning just to share his story and to share a little bit of what he's been through and how faithful the Lord has been in his life. So let's give him a nice welcome. Ben De Bruyn.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Like Alistair said, I've been a part of Show for Bloemfontein now for 7 years. During which I could study, and to be honest, quite the testimony about the beginning of my studies and everything is a whole another testimony that you guys are welcome to ask me about. We can go drink coffee. I would not say I'm in any way qualified to be preaching here today. To be honest, this is not really a sermon, but what my heart is and what I really pray is that you guys experience my heart and the stuff that I went through, not in terms of medical. Don't think of, I'm not close to the medical field, so this is not applicable to me. This is life stuff. This is stuff that changed the way that we think about life, how we approach God, how we approach everything, family, friends, relationships, money, everything. Back where I was in high school, the pastor once said that life is too short to learn from your own mistake. You're going to have to learn from mine as well. Which is basically what it comes down to. So, yes, I've made about two mistakes in my life, too many to mention. So I'm not perfect. I don't have everything figured out. Please laugh at my jokes. It makes me feel better. And if I'm not perfect, neither is this church. So if you came here looking for a perfect church, this is not it. I'm sorry. But you might see Jesus, and that's what it's all about. He's holy, he's pure, he's perfect. So I grew up in a spirit-filled home, which is a great blessing. If you are parents here today, young, old, if you children are out of the house, I want to encourage you. Your children don't need perfect parents. What they need is they need a mom and a dad who loves God, period. They don't need you to be perfect. They don't need you to do anything right. They just need you to love God. Anyway, that's another sermon. With regards to my life, this for spoiler alert, everything didn't go as I planned, because it's not my will be done, it's God's will be done. So in the ideal world, I would have made you guys a presentation with a nice soothing duck egg blue screen and mountains and stuff. And the title would have been something similar like, "It's Supposed to Be Different." And like any good title and any good movie, you would not understand the title of the sermon until the end. So stay awake and let's go. I want to read you something from a journal that I've been keeping on my computer for the last 3 years. I really didn't want to. I prepared three different other sermons, that I didn't have to be vulnerable about. I didn't have to be honest. I could just give you guys word.
Yes.
And then God said, no, but if we want to grow as a church, if we want to not grow in numbers, if we want to grow in relationship, if we want to grow in spiritual maturity, we're going to have to be vulnerable. We're going to have to be honest with you. So I beg you to bear with me. On the 11th of July, 2017, I said, dear Lord, so today was rough and busy. I'm tired. I wanted to spend some decent time with you, but I didn't manage to. So today I quite struggled with the intensity of my emotions. I feel like feelings and emotions are getting the best of me. To guide me through this, in whichever season in my life I am to be, I ought to be there with you. And if you know me, you'd know that music is pretty much a big part of my life. So my journal is like fully equipped with a soundtrack as well. So then the song that's with this is like from Hillsong that says, take this fainted heart, take these tainted hands, wash me in your love, come like grace again. And take this mountain weight, take these ocean tears, hold me through the trial and come like hope again. Because even when all strength is lost, I'll praise you. And even when I have no song, I'll praise you. And even if it's hard to find the words louder, then I'll sing your praise. Later on, I wrote, today was painful again. I need your comfort. It doesn't seem like I'm getting out of this pit of despair. Still, I'll sing your praise. I don't want to go to sleep unless you have revealed to me how and what I should learn from this, Father. I don't want to close my eyes tonight without knowing you're with me in this. Lamentations 1 verse 20 says, see, O Lord, that I am in distress. My soul is troubled. My heart is overturned within me. If you think you're going through a bad time, go read Lamentations. Those people who really went through a bad time. So that's what I did. I was like, okay, God, if I'm in a season of lament or whatever I'm going through, I'm going to work through Lamentations. And that's what we did. See, in Lamentations 3 verse 25, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. God's mercies is new every morning. It speaks of his covenant of compassion expressed in his consuming commitment to bring us into everlasting communion with him. So I was writing there. I said, God, I need your mercies more often than I think and ask for it. Bless you. God's mercies is his compassion towards us, even if we deserve punishment. His commitment to restore me, even though I deserve to endure the consequences of my sin, and his covenant of love expressed at the point of my greatest foolishness. See, you don't really need detail about what I was going through in my life and everything. I'm studying, life is hard anyway. You know, there's a bunch of stuff. Later in July, I wrote, I'm mad because I'm just struggling with my academics, struggling with my time management, struggling with my quiet time, struggling to sleep, struggling to exercise. I feel like I've obtained my master's degree in struggling. Quite a while from July went past to October. And then I wrote again. I said, God, as children, we really need to let go. We really need to let go. Let go of all the things that we want to fix before we give it to you. Then once again, put in a song there to just put the emphasis there and the emotion. And it says, I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you are shaping my life, because all I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say. I made a note, you don't start singing. that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And that speaks a lot about repentance as well, to get to the point. But what I want to emphasize is that this maybe started in June. It started way before. And in October, I only got to the place where I was like, God, I need to let go of this. You need to strip everything away from me that's not of you. Because sometimes I do think we prolong our suffering. I'm really lost for words. I write on the 29th of October, but you did some pretty good things last week. Amazing. A week after, I said, God, I need to let go. I need you to soften my heart and to break me apart. A week later, just sat there like, Dad, I didn't start with dear God, Lord, hello. I started with Dad. I'm really lost for words. You really did some pretty good things last week. So the printer was very reluctant today to be working with me. So there was an extra page. So I thought I didn't repeat that. But Hebrews 12 verse 1-2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us. God is not astonished by where you are at life. He planned for you to be here today. He planned for me to be here. So now, very important, the part where it says that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the important points being, all of heaven are witness to every single moment of our life. Even when you are alone, all of heaven is witness to that breath that you take, when you are by yourself, when you are driving by yourself. So we must lay down every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. You see, there's a consequence of that as well. There's a consequence of the weight that we are carrying. And lastly, looking unto Jesus. That means that we see Him. So if you tell me you are seeking God and you're looking unto Him, I'm going to ask you, do you see Him? Are you looking into His eyes? Colossians 3 verse 1-3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. So if you're looking for the meaning of your life, there you've got it. Your life is hidden within Christ. Yeah, so the final year of my studies in 2018, I wrote considerably less. The 12th of August, now this is towards the end of the year, stuff is building up, graduation, are you going to make it or you're not going to make it? Who knows? That's really how it feels when you're studying medicine. It's been, and I sat down and I wrote, like, it's been more than 4 months since I last took some time to write, and tonight I am, dare I say, more aware of the fact that I'm completely and utterly not worthy of living. Nothing I have ever accomplished could give me life when brought before the holiness of who you are. As a sinner, I deserve death. I deserve hell. All of creation will fall to their faces in the presence of the one who created all. Who then am I to demand life and life in abundance? It slots in with the consumerism theory. Do you want Jesus, or do you just want enough of Jesus to get what you want? And how dare I place God within the same class as a mortal human being? Samuel 2 verse 2 says, there is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides thee, nor is there any rock like our God. The difference between me and God is infinite, yet He calls me His son. He says that I am created in His image. And I just wrote there, woe for me, for I am lost. In October, I wrote, I battled the last 24 hours with anxiety and fear. So this is actually now more than a year and a half since the first time we've written. Obviously, I didn't put everything in. You guys wouldn't have tolerated that. But I battled the last 24 hours with anxiety and fear and a general feeling of not being adequate. Not being good enough to ask God for help, nor good enough to become a doctor. Frankly, any and all comforting that I seek led to one conclusion. That people do not know what to say. They don't know what to say to comfort the brokenhearted. It is funny and frustrating to know what I need to do, yet I prolong my own suffering. Because with God, all my answers rest in Him. God, speak to me, minister my heart, and heal me. 16 days after that, I wrote, I was struggling quite a bit with anxiety and fear. From a medical point of view, if you looked at the DSM statistics of psychiatry, you would say, yeah, this guy classifies as major depressive disorder, or at least an episode. Life is bad. Yes, become a victim, put on the victimhood. Yes, I'm a victim, so I'm untouchable. I mean, that's what we do in our country. If you can prove that you are a victim, you're untouchable. Excuse me. So I was placed on antidepressants for a while. They said, no, physiologically, your stores are depleted, you are tired and everything, we're going to refill it. And there's some truth to that, which I agree, but obviously in my case, I knew where the root was that I wasn't really, really, really seeking God in that intimate place. So on the 29th of October, now you guys must realize this is probably, this is not even a week before my final exams. I started writing on the 2nd of November. This was the 29th of October. I stopped taking antidepressants because fear and anxiety is linked to unbelief in God. You don't fight unbelief with pills. You fight it with the Word of God. You fight it by putting on the armor of God and speaking truth over every fiber of your being. I've been struggling so much with sleepless nights, getting up about 7 times in an evening, minimum. So you go to bed at 10, you wake up at 4, but in between that there's 7 times that you got up, walk to the fridge, drink water, get back in bed. Not being able to find rest at all. Last night, however, was the first time in weeks where I could sleep soundly knowing that He cares for me. What God so graciously showed me is that all my anxiety, all my depression, all my stress, every care that I was carrying was linked to my unbelief. Please raise your hand if you tell me you've got no unbelief. You believe 100%. There's not even an ounce of unbelief. Then why do you stress about your exams? About your finances? Because that's where I was. God asked me, do you trust me? I was like, yeah, obviously. Obvious. In church. He was like, okay, then why are you stressing? I was like, And then he's like, do you trust me? I was like, well, obviously not. To what extent am I trusting God if I'm anxious? If I'm worrying about growing old by myself? If I'm worrying about where my next meal is going to come from? To what extent am I trusting God? Really? So, I'm going to show you guys a video. Yes, time. I'm also one of those people, so this was important. I'm going to show you the first video. It's from desiringgod.com. And John Piper just sums it up really quickly about scriptures, because this is how we fight anxiety. So anybody maybe in the last week that experienced some anxiety of some sort, maybe you just drove past the robot and some guy skew-boss you. Okay, move it down. You know? So I'm not alone. We experience it. I mean, some of you maybe have children for the first time. You're like freaking out. How am I supposed to bring up a child in this world? Have you seen it? Some of you are thinking, like, where am I ever going to find a spouse? Like, have you met me? You know, like, we're carrying so much weight on our shoulders, but you are not turning to God. You're not reading the Word. So, yeah, we're quickly going to watch this. Amazing. You can watch that again, actually. No, it's basically 7 years of sermons and that thing. So that's why I said it's supposed to be different. If we are saying we are born-again Christians and we're living a life of faith, and Jesus has died for our sins on the cross, we've got God's salvation, His blood pleaded up over our lives. Why do we go through what non-Christians does and the world goes, and it has the same effect on us that it has on them? So it's supposed to be different. When we face tribulations, anxiety, and fear, we ought to react differently than people that are saved, those who haven't come to any salvation. So I want to ask you today, how different is your reaction from non-Christians? When you walk into your exam hallway, and there's 200 people, I'm guessing not all 200 of them are saved, but you are. Wow, that test was difficult. I almost died. That's what we say. Because we want to be victims. But we don't get that Jesus actually died on a cross that we don't have to. So that's basically, in short, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, Jesus is capable and compassionate Savior to all who turn to Him. No situation, however complicated it may seem, is too much for owning to our sin and confessing it to Him is where healing begins. The goal is not healing. The goal is Jesus. So 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. So that's my heart for today. It changed completely how I see everything. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to have some time now where if you need to lay everything down before God, the stuff that you are carrying, your family, your studies, finances, stuff that you shouldn't be carrying, because in all honesty, we just heard you're not actually supposed to be carrying anything. There's a song going to play. You can come here if you need someone to pray with you, by all means. For me, it took a few months, actually years, to fully get to the point where I dealt with it. You've got today. You can walk out of there. You can take your last breath. I'm not going to be there with you. You're not going to be in front of God with your brothers and your sisters and your boyfriend. And you're going to be there by yourself. It doesn't do anything to my salvation if you come here or not. But it might just change your whole life. Yeah. So you guys can play that. And then if you guys need prayer or anything, please.
Can I just ask us all to stand this morning? If you need to respond and join the rest of these people that have responded, I believe the Lord is saying to some people here this morning, I see a picture of a house and someone is stressing about your house, where you're going to stay. I don't know if you've got to pay off a bond or if you're looking for a house to stay or you're stressing about accommodation. I believe you've got to respond this morning. The Lord wants to just bless you with peace in terms of either your financial payments or just you're stressing about where to stay. The Lord wants to say this morning, you can trust Him. Amen. And then I really believe some people here this morning, you are struggling with frustration in your relationship with God. You feel like you've disappointed God. You feel like you're just not getting to God. You feel like your quiet time's not happening, just like Benny was being honest in his diary and saying, Lord, I don't get to you. And this morning it's worrying you. It's weighing you down. You feel like you've so disappointed the Lord and disappointed yourself. And the Lord wants you to come and release even that to Him. He's not shaken by the fact that you don't spend time with Him, that you've neglected the Word. You just feel like your life's consumed by stuff other than God. Don't be condemned this morning. Amen. So if that's you this morning, just come. If you need to respond for the accommodation thing, the house thing, then come. If you need to respond for your relationship with the Lord, you feel like you just need to restore that candle that's burning, not so bright anymore, just come. He wants to light that fire this morning. He wants to give you peace in that. Amen. So just close your eyes. If you need to respond this morning in anything, any word this morning, if you need healing this morning, you're anxious about sickness and you're so frustrated physically in your body, just come. Jesus wants to touch you this morning. Amen. So just respond this morning. Father, we just bless you for your presence here, God. Spirit of God, thank you that you are moving like you did at the beginning, over the chaos and over the darkness and over the despair and the destruction of the earth. And you came to bring life. And thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that you come to minister over every person that's responded this morning. Lord, that you by your Spirit come and you minister life where there's death. In Jesus' name. Where there's anxiety about stuff, Lord. Where there's worry, where there's fear. Only your Word can take it out, Lord. Only your Word can change darkness, nothing, void, like at the beginning, Lord. And you brought life. You brought creation out of the absolute utter despair, Lord. But it was your Word, Lord, that was spoken. You said, let there be light. And this morning, God, I thank you by your Spirit that you say, let there be light to every person that is fearing, that is worrying, that is anxious. In Jesus' name. Just allow the Holy Spirit right now to just bring life. Just be that place of void and of darkness and of despair and of nothing. And just allow Him to bring life this morning. Amen. In Jesus' name. He's going to do it right now. Just if you have to extend your hands, you guys are the responder, just open your hands as a gesture and say, Lord, I yield to all this stuff. I give this to you, but I yield to you, Lord, to come and override this stuff, to come and take it away, to come and give me strength to have belief again, to have faith again. Some of you, you're doubting your faith even. You're wondering, do you really believe, like Benny was sharing? It's a challenge because you have to ask yourself, if I'm stressing so much, do I believe? The Lord wants to give you faith this morning. He wants to strengthen your faith because you have been given a gift of faith. Everyone has faith. Just activate that faith this morning again in Jesus Christ. Not in yourself, not in your good works, not in the stuff that you've done, just in His finished work. Thank you this morning, Jesus. Won't you minister a song to us, Benny? And are we going to pray for people? If you can pray for people, just come help us pray for people here this morning. You really need to go this morning, saints. Be blessed. I'm not going to keep you much longer. If you need to go, feel free to go. But if you have time, just remain in the presence of the Lord. Eh? The Lord is here to touch all our lives, to minister encouragement to us. You can even pray for each other over a cup of coffee. But just respect what the Lord is doing in the frontier this morning. So God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Bring some friends next week. Come again. Have a wonderful day.